answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That secret plan known as Operation Absolute Resolve was months in the making. It began at 10:46 Eastern on Friday night, involving more than 150 aircraft from 20 different bases on land and at sea. We're told that jet fighters, with those jet fighters in the air, joint air components soon began dismantling and disabling air defense systems in Venezuela. Just after 1 in the morning, U.S. apprehension forces descended into Maduro's heavily fortified compound in Caracas. The Venezuelan president and his wife were then dragged from their bedrooms by the U.S. Army's elite Delta Force before the couple was able to flee, though they tried, to a nearby safe room. And then by 3:30, the return force was over water with the Maduros, and they were taken into custody by the Department of Justice, whisked away to an amphibious assault ship in the Caribbean.
And that is how CNN described the success of a U.S. mission to go into Venezuela and take Maduro in custody and take him out of the country. The casualties? We've been told maybe 2 to 3 of our troops were slightly injured, and one of the planes or helicopters was hit by small arms fire, but we had destroyed their radar detecting, watching for our ships coming in and our planes and helicopters, and we took out their artillery guns, which, by the way, were manned by Cubans. How did that happen? Well, that is part of the exchange between Cuba and Venezuela, and partly because Maduro did not trust his own troops to protect him. What does that say when you cannot trust your own people to trust to take care of you and protect you? And there was CNN having to admit this was a success. Oh, I know it pained them. Why would it pain anyone to talk about a success of a U.S. military action? Yeah. They had to admit this all went down perfectly. And then on top of that, everyone wants to be a part of a successful mission to some extent. And New York City Mayor Mondami made a remark to a reporter, said, well, I was briefed on the exercise. He lied. Just like he's lied about everything else he's going to provide for New Yorkers. He lied. First of all, he does not have a national security clearance. There's no way he would be, quote, briefed. But he wanted everyone to believe he was briefed by the Trump White House. And he indicated that he had talked to Trump and told him, I'm against it. I don't even know now if that's true. I haven't even bothered to check. I could care less. Because he lied when he suggested I've been briefed. To the credit of some reporter, I wish I knew the name, I'd give them the full credit. They asked, how is it, since you don't have a security clearance, you were briefed by the White House or the Pentagon, or who did brief you? And Mondami had to collapse his tent and admit, well, I wasn't briefed by the Trump administration, but my own staff briefed me. They briefed you. They were reading Twitter and various YouTube videos and telling them what was going on. They were just relaying to them what they had read about the action that had already taken place. But he wanted to appear, I'm obviously a strong leader, and Trump trusts me enough to tell me about this. They did not inform any members of Congress. And that's why we could say there was no leak that endangered our troops on that mission. Thank God. Welcome to hour number 2, Larry Connors, USA. January 6th. I got my date mixed up already. January 6th, 2026. 7 will be tomorrow, by the way, if you're counting the calendar. And with Larry Connors USA, we're here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air with Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. One of the pieces of knowledge you now have, Larry Connors didn't know what day it was. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can continue to use that against me until tomorrow. At least until tomorrow. And later in this hour, Drew Allen Thomas on the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. That'll be a fascinating discussion yet to come. Plus, a Muslim stating in an editorial piece on why he came to America, "I wish every immigrant, legal or even illegal, would take note of this statement by a Muslim. And those who believe that Muslims are the issue when it's really jihadist, I want you to listen to those remarks coming up later." Now, dealing with what took place in Venezuela the other night, Stephen Miller, White House Homeland Security Advisor, said what we were targeting were facilities intending to destroy our forces, and they were all manned by Cubans.
The overwhelming share of casualties and fatalities that were inflicted were against the Cuban guard that had exerted control over the people of Venezuela. So what many don't realize is that for years, Maduro stayed in power through an illicit deal with Cuban communists to provide his security because he didn't trust his own people to keep him safe. That is how much he was hated inside of Venezuela. So what our special forces encountered when they did that daring midnight assault into Caracas were armed Cuban guards, mm-hmm. and they sustained massive numbers of casualties. I can't give you an exact number. The numbers that you've seen in terms of the Cuban guards publicly reported are probably lower than the actual number that were killed.
And when we hear those complaining about our actions against Venezuela, that we're, quote, nation building, starting an imperialistic attitude, what do you think the Cubans were doing there? They were obviously looking for a point to maybe also help control Venezuela and its oil. You're not going to hear that from the left. And in fact, Bernie Sanders said in his opinion, what we did in Venezuela, while Maduro was a bad guy, Bernie admits that, we were again showing imperialistic attitude.
What Trump has done is made the world significantly less safe. If the United States can attack and kidnap the president of Venezuela, who clearly is corrupt, clearly is a bad news guy, but he's the president there. If we can do that, what is stopping any other country on earth, for whatever reason, or terrorist organizations from launching military attacks? Trump has violated international law, and that is going to make all of us, I think, less safe. Trump has made it clear he wants to take Venezuela's oil. Last I heard, this is what imperialism is all about. And I suspect that people all over the world are saying, wow, we're going back to where we were 100 years ago, 50 years ago, where the big, powerful countries were exploiting poorer countries for their natural resources.
Let me quickly break down some of the idiot statements. Imperialistic attitude of taking over Venezuela. That is not what we did. We went in, executed our mission, and got out. Trump's remarks about Venezuelan oil, he referred at one point to a tanker which we'd already seized, had something like 2 million barrels, 2 million barrels of oil. How long do you think that would last the USA? And Trump said, well, we took it, we may hold it. I don't know what we will end up doing with it or not. And of course, the left immediately cries out, this is all about oil. And he includes the fact that this is a violation of international law. So says Bernie Sanders. Others say, and of course you can say, well, that's the left versus the right. There is no violation of federal law, international law, I should say. And we had an arrest warrant on Maduro. And I told you yesterday, when we went after Noriega, then a member of the U.S. Counsel's office, William Barr, no the less, wrote a memo saying the president has the constitutional authority to go after anyone he wants anywhere. International law is not included. He's not subject to it. So there was Bernie Sanders condemning what Trump did. And at one point he said, this is going to open us, the USA, up to more attacks and threats. Now that I have no doubt, but those were going to come anyway. We've already seen them and they will continue. But those coming after us know they're going to be dealing with a commander-in-chief, a leader of this nation, who's not going to sit back and say, oh, well, we're sorry. We're going to apologize for everything we've done. We don't do that anymore. We did during the Obama administration when he first came in, made a worldwide tour basically apologizing for everything the U.S. had done for the world and the other countries. So that was Senator Bernie Sanders. I want you to hear from a Bernie on the other side, Ohio Congressman Bernie Moreno.
First of all, our men and women of our military did an absolutely incredible job. I had a minute to talk to Secretary of War Hegseth. He briefed me on some of the details. I mean, would I just say this? Absolutely flawless execution of a very difficult mission. That's number one. Number two is we have a president of the United States who will not tolerate anybody harming American citizens.
You're right. That's why we should not. And when Congressman Moreno says he was briefed by Hegseth, he's talking about after this took place. No member of Congress was consulted or given a heads up before we went in. And that's damn good because there were no leaks. You get some of the congressmen looking for, oh, I can make a name for myself by getting this out early. And when you do, you jeopardize the lives and safety of our American forces. So no member of Congress was informed in advance, nor should they be. And Florida Congressman Mass says we're trying to stabilize our hemisphere.
As everybody should recognize, the United States of America, and as I spoke to some over there already, the Department of War, the Department of State, Department of Treasury, Commerce, our capabilities to maintain an order and stability in our hemisphere and specifically in our backyard and in the Gulf, those capabilities are unparalleled. What everybody saw on various videos with our Department of War and our law enforcement operations, unparalleled. Only the United States of America can do that. That is what peace through strength looks like. That demonstration of what your power is, sometimes that's all the control that you need.
Yeah, that's strength. Oh, you need to know this, or at least you should be informed. Pope Leo decided to make a statement from St. Peter's Square about our action against Maduro and going into Venezuela. And he said, and I'm quoting, "With deep concern, I am following the developments in Venezuela. The good of the beloved Venezuelan people must prevail above all other considerations and encourage us to overcome violence, undertake paths of justice and peace, guaranteeing the sovereignty of that country, and ensuring the rule of law is enshrined by the Constitution, respecting the human and civil rights of each and every one." And everything he just said was basically trying to condemn Trump and what we did. So he's ignoring the well-being and safety of Venezuelans who have been subjected to a dictator which has been actively kidnapping, torturing, and killing. Pope Leo, your words ring hollow with me. We've had also a report that several tankers allegedly sailed from Venezuela in dark mode, trying to get away as soon as they could. Various ship tracking services and, of course, our own Navy detected at least a dozen ships, loaded oil tankers, getting away from Venezuela in the first week of 2026. All of those ships targeted by U.S. sanctions. And between them, they carried something like 12 million barrels of oil. Super tankers carrying Venezuelan crude to China. The fraud we've seen in Minnesota is taking place elsewhere. You just look at any state, blue city state, where taxpayers have been ripped off. Maine is another perfect example.
And more I started digging, the more I started finding. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, that this was happening and that I was part of this.
Chris Bernardini spent 7 years working for Gateway Community Services, a Somali-American-led health services contractor in Maine. Bernardini alleges Gateway oversaw a system in which false records were filed about client visits. And he says they charged taxpayers for providing services that were never performed.
We started getting some clients saying that, calling and saying, you know, months later that their client owed them hours. They hadn't come in for these shifts and stuff, but I had a time card for it.
And then they were billing for it.
They were billing for it.
And the fraud goes round and round. And they were going to continue as long as they could. The New York Post reported the other day that some of the fraudsters in Minnesota, one of them convicted, he had been using money he stole from the Minnesota residents, basically, to buy luxury cars and take expensive, lavish vacations. Now, I have yet to see a single Democrat come out and complain about that. In the meantime, President Trump is surging ICE agents into Minneapolis and the Minneapolis-St. Paul area looking for more of this fraud. And they're going to find more. The $4 billion mark, we've been told, that could go up to $20 billion in fraud just by the Somalians in Minnesota. In the meantime, in California, ICE has arrested almost 120 illegal aliens. Many of them were registered sex offenders, drunk drivers, or pedophiles. Why were they on the street? Well, because it's a sanctuary state, don't you know? We're going to let everybody go that we pick up. We don't care about our citizens. We want the illegals to have run of our state, and they were doing so. I fear for children in California, especially with leftist parents who think it's okay, let these people go. Not one of them coming forward and saying, I'll take them into my house, maybe even let them share a bedroom with my children. No way. They don't mind that they attack your people and your house and your relatives and neighbors, but not them. Oh, by the way, Homeland Security points out that Hilton hotels are denying rooms to ICE agents and home security agents in the Minneapolis area. The Hilton hotel chain. So you need to keep that in mind when it comes to booking and going to any hotel. Now, I'm not telling you to boycott it, but I'm just telling you there's no way I'm going to take part in it if they're going to ban federal agents from carrying out the law of our land and looking for and arresting illegals. They think it's just cool to step forward and ban them. Although there have been some other reports coming in. Well, that's just the local ownership of that. It's not, well, it's under the Hilton brand. It's local owners that have control. If that is true, the Hilton Corporation should be cracking down on those owners and saying, you cannot and will not deny anyone because of being in law enforcement or ICE or Homeland Security. Simple. You think they'll do it? Before we wrap up today, an affordability cost survey. And where do you stand on living paycheck to paycheck? But coming up next, Drew Allen Thomas, Charlie Kirk, the modern day martyr. That's still to come. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you and your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name, because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm gonna run away to the gun carry, make camp where the land is bare. I'm gonna run away to the gun carry, ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from, left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Drew Thomas Allen, the author of a new book, For Christ in Country, The Martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. We're going to get into that in more detail before we wrap up. But I've got another issue in front of us to begin with. Welcome aboard, Drew.
Hey, brother. It's so good to be with you. I love getting a chance to talk to you.
I love having you on board. I want to begin with the Daily Mail looking at the VP Vance Holmes invasion, the attacker. They say he turned out to be a transgender going by the name of Julia, and both his parents, Democrats, giving money to the Harris campaign and Biden in the past. What is the issue with transgenders suddenly going after anyone they can on the right and conservative movement? Let me get your assessment of that to begin with.
Well, within that movement, I mean, you can make a lot of comparisons that are very legitimate to, you know, radical, you know, jihadists in Islam. It's a very radical faction of the Democrat Party. You know, they're the most coddled group of people in America, but they're also, you know, told they're the most oppressed. And, you know, the fundamental problem is, and, you know, society doesn't want to talk about it. These are people who have a underlying mental health issue. If you are bulimic or anorexic, you know, if you have some kid who's, you know, putting his finger down his throat to throw up because they look in the mirror and they don't like the way they look, you don't encourage that and tell them that that's, you know, a good outlet for them to you know, express themselves. And of course, transgenderism is the furthest you can go in that body dysphoria, you know, root, because you look in the mirror and you don't, you deny your own biological existence. And so, you know, and it's only the left who wants to promote that with children, especially, and confuse them. And it leads people down a path of anger and hatred. And these people are told that, you know, in the case of like Charlie Kirk, well, you know, his disagreement with the transgender stuff and him talking about spirituality and trying to, you know, explain that there are only two biological sexes, which is a fact, a biological fact. Well, his words are violence, and therefore you get to a point where these people eventually believe that actual violence is justified.
Yeah, and that is a key, that there have been numerous cases where transgenders, such as the Nashville Christian School, carried out an attack upon Christians or just those of any faith, but innocent little victims. And the left wants to deny and argue against it and not even report it and cover it up.
Well, the left treats the transgender violence in the same way that Barack Obama and Democrats and even George Bush, you know, after 9/11 kind of treated radical jihadists. Right. They don't want to have a serious, honest conversation. And look, this isn't to say that everybody who is transgender is going to be a violent person and so on and so forth, just like every Muslim is not a violent person. But the underlying ideology leads itself to that. And it's disproportionate in that community, a very, very, very small but growing, because it's basically like in the book, I have a chapter called Frankenstein's Monster. Yes. And that's not to be mean to transgender people, but it's a modern experiment on children that the left has undertaken. And they don't want to be held accountable for the, you know, reprehensible results of that, which is this violence.
Why do you
and,
think?
And here's the thing. If you read. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I apologize for interrupting. Why do you think that they've made this such a calling of their party and willing to die on that hill that we want to take children and mutilate them, and not only physically but mentally?
Well, which party do they end up supporting? You know, when you do that, they support the Democrat Party. So at the end of the day, it's about power. So for Charlie Kirk, for me, for you, for probably a lot of people in the audience, I mean, I'm a Christian, I'm a person of faith, and I believe in a transcendent power. So, you know, there is no moral relativism. There is right and wrong in this world, and there is truth, and there is fiction, and there are lies. And the left is their entire philosophy, whether it's transgenderism, or, you know, Mamdani in New York trying to tell people rent control is the solution to their problems.
Right.
You know, everything that they put out as a solution actually exacerbates the problem. And it's because of the left's philosophy or policy. And then they point to the victim. So, you know, in New York, for example, just a brief, quick example that's obviously not related to transgenderism. But, you know, what does rent control get you? We know as a for a fact that it actually has the opposite results that they say that they intend to produce. So you actually have greater scarcity. You discourage builders from building more apartments, and you don't even help the very people you're claiming need help. You create a two-tiered system with that, where you have the rich and the poor, and then they blame the land, the you know, apartment owners for the problem, but they're just having to do what the government tells them.
Yeah, they don't look into the mirror. I want to get into more detail on your book, and you're listening to Drew Allen Thomas. Drew Thomas Allen, and the book is The Christ in Country: The Martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. Now, you point out that this book is not a conventional biography, but a cultural and spiritual reckoning.
Yes, and it's something that we didn't have after Charlie Kirk's assassination. And part of the reason I wrote this book is I want to force that reckoning to come, and it must. Transgenderism is just one of the issues, but it's a significant one. If you believe, you know, the which I do believe, you know, Tyler Robinson, the person that I mean, his parents turned him in. He's going to face trial for the assassination of Charlie Kirk. You know, he was in a relationship with a transgender partner. And, you know, a week before that, you had a transgender individual who killed a bunch of two children and injured 30 others that were in a mass in Minnesota. And when you read these screeds, the manifestos of these transgender killers, like in Nashville with Audrey Hale, they read like a Barack Obama speech, and that's not hyperbole. You know, they're anti-white. They believe they're gods. They're full of hatred and rhetoric that you hear on CNN on a panel on race relations. And so we know that there is a connection between violence and the left's rhetoric. We need to talk about it.
I have seen some comparing Charlie Kirk to the American Bonhoeffer. Now, Bonhoeffer, for those unaware of it, helped Jews escape to Switzerland during the Hitler years. He was a German Luther pastor, obviously neo-Orthodox theologian, anti-Nazi dissident, a founding member of the Confessing Church. So how do you see Kirk reference Bonhoeffer and what he did?
Yeah, well, look, it's really amazing because Eric Metaxas, who wrote an amazing book on Bonhoeffer, he endorsed this this book. And, you know, Bonhoeffer, you know, a martyr is someone who's killed for their beliefs. And obviously there are religious associations with it as well. And, you know, Charlie Kirk is of that breed in our time, the first that I can see. He was absolutely, look, Charlie Kirk was unique, kind of like Bonhoeffer, because Bonhoeffer was a pastor. Charlie Kirk effectively was a pastor. I mean, if you listen to him in his more mature years, even though he was only 31 when he was gunned down, you know, he wore his Christian faith on his sleeve. And that's where his policy positions and his beliefs came from. And so that's inseparable from his politics. Charlie didn't believe that, you know, politics was an on-ramp to religion. It was the other way around.
Yes.
And so it's not just that he was killed for his Christian beliefs. It's the impact that his death had, right? And as important as he was in life, even though I was his publicist for one of his books, I didn't realize how important he was until he died. He's bigger in death than he was in life. And he's inspired people like me to change my life in a very big way, to become more courageous. And honestly, I've become a better Christian because of Charlie Kirk's death, which is a kind of a crazy thing to say. And so that's where the martyrdom comes in. Some people think that that's, you know, such an absurd thing to say, that Charlie Kirk was a martyr. They get very offended by that. And of course, the people offended by it generally aren't Christians, and they're definitely not conservatives, but he was absolutely a martyr.
And yet, he was killed for so-called hate speech and was basically preaching the truth. One, there are only two genders, and the fact that you should not be doing this to our children, among other things. And that was considered hate speech.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was killed for speaking the truth. And he understood that we faced a spiritual crisis. And I've said this too, and it's become more clear to me, you know, if we're going to save the country, which we're trying desperately to do right now, and we have a chance thanks to reelecting Donald Trump, it's a spiritual crisis. So you're not going to save the country through politics alone. It's going to be through a spiritual revival and resurgence. And this country has the most Christians in a nation compared to any other place. So you're talking about more than 200 million that claim to be Christians. If we were all Bible-based Christians that actually followed the Gospels mm-hmm. and followed the Bible in an authentic way, we'd be an unbeatable force. But of course, you've got woke churches out there that are nothing more than pulpits for, you know, Lucifer.
And even the strongest Christian is still a sinner. So we must stay ingrained in the Word of God. And I want to thank you for this book. Again, it's Drew Thomas Allen, author of For Christ and Country, The Martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. In the last 30 seconds, will this be, quote, considered a passing fad dealing with Kirk?
No, I don't think so. I think that the fact that he's a martyr, and I do believe that sincerely, it'll continue to resonate. You know, I wasn't his personal friend, even though I had a professional relationship, and it's changed my life. And I will continue to talk about Charlie and talk about his legacy. And I will try to imitate Charlie and Christ as, you know, Charlie or the Apostle Paul, you know, imitated Christ as well. And so that will continue to live on.
All right. Drew Thomas Allen, I thank you. And folks, look for the book For Christ and Country, The Martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. Drew, thank you very much for your time today.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, sir. Still to come, a Muslim who says, I came to the U.S. not to cause havoc, but to become a true American. You want to hear who that was?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley.
This is News Talk STL.
All my friends know the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, announcing that its board of directors is formally voting to dissolve the organization that marks the end of its 58-year role as a federally chartered steward of public broadcasting. How does this affect public broadcasting? Well, if you listen to those supporting NPR, PBS, and all about the leftist-leaning ideology they push. Oh, my God, this is a death knell. And why is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting beginning to cease operations? They call the dissolution an act of responsible stewardship to protect the future of public media, emphasizing it's been our effort to defend the system it was created to serve. In fact, the president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting said when the Trump administration, and Congress rescinded federal funding, we had a profound responsibility. Our final act would be to protect the integrity, the integrity of the public media system and the democratic values. Again, I laugh. By dissolving rather than allowing the organization to remain defunded and vulnerable to additional attacks. Riddle me this. If you're already worried about defunding and being attacked, what have you done by simply dissolving? You haven't done anything. But I am not going to lose any sleep over it. How about you? I have pointed out to you before, there are times when PBS and NPR can do solid stories, not just on journalism effort, but stories that in basically not only enlighten you, but inform you. But the problem is, the DNA says at some point they're going to try to turn you into a lefty. Some of the specials I've seen on PBS or listened to on the radio on NPR have been very informative and well-researched and done great, and they were not pushing a political agenda. But I'm telling you, once you go back to this source of public broadcasting and national public radio, it's in their DNA to sway the American public and to basically prey upon you. And a lot of the people they think they're reaching, they're not reaching anyway. They are not the ones who come forward in a drive to raise more money. Now, maybe you did during Downton Abbey. I understand that. But that, again, was good, enlightening entertainment. But you go back to the source, you're going to find that DNA that says we want to reshape our nation, make it more leftist, more socialist, more communist, more Marxist. So the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, made that decision after Congress cut $1.1 billion to their organization. Speaker Mike Johnson praised the legislation, saying, "We are eliminating wasteful spending and defunding what he described as a politically biased media outlet such as NPR and PBS." If you recall, back in May of 2025, President Trump issued an executive order saying no media outlet has a constitutional right to taxpayer subsidies. Believe me, I tried to get them for Larry Connors USA. I have not received $1 of subsidy, except for my sponsors. And I certainly appreciate it. And that's why I encourage you to listen to the sponsors I have on Larry Connors USA, and when they have something that you need, go to them, not someone else. You, in turn, are supporting Larry Connors USA. Thank you for your subsidy. But I have not gotten a damn dollar from the federal government to subsidize this program. And you know what? I don't expect to. There was a legal dispute involving a $36 million contract with NPR. And at the time, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting saw additional cuts coming, and they thought, we just cannot sustain. So we'll just close up. Well, I'm glad they made that decision. But what gets me is they want to claim that we are a legitimate organization preaching the truth and value. No, you're not. I don't even know how you can get it out of your mouth without choking. I have a question for you. And this is very personal. I know that. You do not have to answer verbally to those sitting around. As I ask, are you living paycheck to paycheck that you just can't get far enough ahead? Are you going to blame Trump? Yeah, many will. You going to blame the tariffs? Yeah, many will. But how much of it might be your own making, and are this situation needs to change to make things better? Trump has been doing that. But yes, there's still people finding some items too high. And of course, dropping off the Obamacare subsidies, that's going to increase the insurance. But we're looking for a way to make that better for you if you were relying on them. But I'm looking at surveys in 2024 and 2025, and they estimate a significant portion of Americans, from 24% to 70%, live paycheck to paycheck. Younger generations, Gen Z, millennials, most affected, facing difficulty covering any emergency and saving for retirement. Now, a lot of Americans deal with that. I don't care what your age is. How am I going to get to retirement? And will I have money? In addition to, can I buy a house? And that's where the left has jumped on. Affordability crisis. And they want to ignore what they've done to create that, which includes throwing federal dollars anywhere and everywhere except to really help Americans. They're more than willing to help illegals and provide legal support for them to stay in our country illegally, but not to help Americans. If you're suffering, I want you to look at what's around you and how your government has basically put you at the bottom of the list. PNC Bank, Goldman Sachs found 67% of workers in the U.S. living paycheck to paycheck. That's up from 63% in 2024. Forbes Advisor says nearly 70% either live paycheck to paycheck or could not cover expenses. Payroll.org found 78% could not meet obligations if pay got delayed a week. Now, you don't like to have your paycheck cut. And yes, there are many that, while it will not be fully paycheck to paycheck, what do you have built for a reserve? That difficulty of saving, many admit they cannot cover an unexpected $1,000 expense. So you're rocking along, things are going pretty good for you until suddenly the car breaks down or your air conditioning stops in the middle of the summer. I want improvements for those people that are in that situation. I want you to have a better opportunity, but you're not going to get it under the Democrat leftist attitude. Their attitude is, we'll help everyone except Americans first. They will tell you otherwise, but look where they want to put their money. They want to battle against ICE, ramp up attacks against Homeland Security, and they want you to suffer. You to suffer. So maybe you'll get so disenchanted that you're going to blame Trump anyway. Could there be some reasons to blame Trump? I'm not going to take that away from you. But I think you need to be careful who's parroting that story and that line, that narrative, because they're sinking their hooks deep into you. Oh, by the way, as we are truly moving deeper into winter, I know we're just into January, and in the St. Louis area, This day and the rest of this week, another day without ice and snow. I love it. But we might have a reckoning come late January or Feb or certainly March or even into April. But there's a new report out that the strain of influenza A is facing a sharp rise in flu cases. Public health experts are already calling it a perfect storm because of its severity, rapid spread, and the fact you're not going to like this if you got a flu vaccine. This year's flu vaccine does not match this variant. Symptoms would involve fever, chills, fatigue, cough, sore throat, but some are being hit harder, even if they got the vaccine. And Dr. McCulloch of the Wellness Company has not only warned about this new variant, but warned the flu vaccine would be even less effective than usual against dealing with it. You want to get a flu vaccine shot? Well, that's your choice. But everything in front of us now says it's not going to do you any good. I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's up to you. And, of course, you got to decide what to do with your children. Mondami has obviously published or promised free public transport for New Yorkers, but he cannot deliver. He doesn't have the authority. But we do know the new tenant director appointed by him plans to carry out Marxist policies on rental property, and with a warning that white Americans should expect to face the toughest challenge going forward.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some POC families who are homeowners as well, are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Now, I don't know that you could fully comprehend what that woman's trying to say, but it does get back to what our guest said earlier, Drew Thomas Allen, that this is going to be another assault upon Americans, and you're going to see higher rents, less housing available. And what do you think the push is going to be? It's not going to make it easier for folks to rent or get into a home. But this is, again, the Marxist-Communist attitude. In the meantime, the New York City subway and bus fares have gone up to full $3. Now, they only went up 10 cents for the last price hike since 2023, but Mondami saying we're going to make sure you can get around free. The price hikes were he put in effect before he got elected mayor, but he will not be able to reverse them. Oh, and Jasmine Crockett out of Texas does not like the Supreme Court upholding the new congressional districts because, as she said, it's cheating me. Kudos to the Trump justice who wrote the 160-page opinion denouncing what took place in Texas, and F you to the Supreme Court. That is a standing member of our Congress saying F you to the Supreme Court because she does not like the ruling. It's going to move Crockett out of her current district. That probably factored into her decision to launch a bid for Senate. Good. Let her swim in those waters. Jasmine Crockett, your days are numbered. I told you earlier there's a Muslim that has come to this country and made it clear that, in his words, I came to America chasing a basketball dream, but I stayed because I found something greater, freedom. His name, Enes Freedom. An NBA star at this point, a Muslim. And he wrote a commentary, an opinion piece saying, as a Muslim and a legal immigrant, I came here because freedom here is not just an idea, it's a way of life. And he adds, I did not come to impose my beliefs on anyone. I did not come to burn flags or hate this nation. I did not come to conquer America. I did not come to rewrite the Constitution. This is a man who came to this nation, as he said, for the freedom and the values we have here. This is a man who appreciates what this nation offers. And what a shame We got so many coming into this country, legally or illegally, that want to not assimilate, but destroy. And we have current existing Americans who side with those who are wanting to destroy our nation, our Constitution. As long as they come out on top. That's something they will not ever admit. So if you were pushed down, you say you want the freedom. What if all that freedom ends up taking you out of your position and lowering your economic status? Would you still say you're for America when they're not really for America to begin with? He goes on to say, I did not come to shame others for their faith or values. I did not come to tear down what generations have built. I did not come to replace American values. I came to live freely, work hard, follow the law, contribute to the country that gave me an opportunity, and respect the values that have made the U.S. the greatest nation on earth. And he adds, I'm here because of what this nation stands for, the Constitution, the rule of law, freedom of speech, equal justice to the foundation of America, and they are the values that drew me here and keep me here. The words from Enos Freedom, NBA player, Muslim. No, not all Muslims are jihadists, but every jihadist is a Muslim. I want you to keep his words close. Say, this is what we want in our country. More people like him and that attitude. And I remind you of our pledge. One nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.